You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we are joined, I believe, for the first time by Dr. Derek Scissors. Today he is a resident scholar at the highly regarded American Enterprise Institute, where he specializes on matters involving the economies of China and India and their ties to the U.S. financial system. He's the author of two noteworthy books, China in Global Investment Tracker and Chinese Investment in the U.S. Data Set. He also teaches at George Washington University, where he serves as an adjunct professor, focusing again on the Chinese economy. A man of many parts, we're delighted to have him with us. Dr. Scissors, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio.
Thanks for having me.
We are, of course, speaking against the backdrop of the state visit of Chinese President Xi Jinping. I wondered what your take is on the sort of economic conditions that the Chinese premier has left behind and what it might mean for his conversations with President Obama.
Well, I think a lot of people are paying attention to the fact that China's been in the news lately, and they hear about Chinese stocks falling and problems with their currency, and they're thinking that China's economy just got into trouble. That's actually not true. China's economy started weakening at least 4 years ago. I would say longer, but my more optimistic friends would agree with at least 4 years ago. So it's been in the headlines recently, but in fact, Xi Jinping, the General Secretary of the Communist Party, needs to, you know, is coming here with an economy that's been weakening for a while. And they're not going to be able to get out of their problems because they've been building their problems for 7 years or longer for a good long while without very strong action. So he's either coming here distracted because his economy is in trouble and he's really focused on that, or he's coming here with a weak economic hand and he's going to try to divert the talks to something else.
It also would suggest that he's very much in need of the kind of legitimation that President Obama seems quite willing to give him in the state ceremonies on the White House lawn and, of course, the state dinner this evening. Dr. Derek Scissors is our guest. We are speaking about the visit of Xi Jinping, the president of China. Dr. Scissors is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and an adjunct professor at George Washington University and one of the country's leading authorities on the Chinese economy and what it might mean for us, especially for our financial system. Dr. Scissors, you were talking about the extent to which, well, the Chinese president specifically has a weak hand at the moment. Is there any indication that the Chinese government is getting its hands, if I could use that expression, around the kinds of problems that, as you say, have been afflicting their economy for quite some time?
Not really. The previous regime was under Hu Jintao, and they created most of these problems. It was a very badly run economy at the time, and people just didn't see it because economic problems always show up later rather than with the people who caused them. This government recognizes that there are problems, but they're not doing anything. And there's a debate over whether they're not doing anything because they're distracted by the giant political crackdown, which is called the anti-corruption campaign, or they're not doing anything because they don't have the political will to take the actions necessary. There's a fundamental trade-off when you're a communist government, which is the best thing for your economy is to have less control and let the private sector drive your economy forward, which is the reform that China chose repeatedly in the early stages of its reform era. But if you give the private sector more power and more leeway to do what it wants, you give up control. And this government doesn't look like it's willing to give up the control necessary to revive its economy.
Well, and that's really what I wanted to get to is, as you say, it's a badly run economy, but it is state controlled. There's still, as I understand it, quite a considerable influence exerted on the economy by the state-owned enterprises, though to varying degrees, I guess they've gone to some lengths to sort of obscure the degree to which they are both state-owned and state-controlled. But to the extent that the Chinese government does have a way ahead here, is it likely to be enough, given the kind of hole that they've gotten themselves into at the moment? Or do they really have to take dramatic steps to liberate the economy, as you say, at the expense of their control?
Well, I mean, if their goal, you know, I'm not one of those guys predicting China's going to collapse economically. A collapse would be a political story. What China's headed for economically is stagnation. And we've seen this all around the world. And the Chinese have a lot of the features of other countries that have stagnated. Their huge labor force is absolutely gigantic and now shrinking. So they have fewer workers every year than they did the year before, at least as far as we can tell. They've run up an enormous amount of debt, which probably sounds familiar to everyone listening to the show, but their debt is actually run up more debt than we have over the last 7 years, which is really hard, and they've managed to do it. They've hurt their environment very badly, insofar as state-owned enterprises are never allowed to go bankrupt, which appears to be the case. It's very hard to innovate in that environment because there's not enough competition. So if you look at all the sources of growth, they're all weak, and it really will, as you say, require a radical change. Little changes just aren't going to do it. It's just going to postpone the time when China is stagnant. And they just don't seem to have the willingness or the nerve to take those kinds of radical steps, get the state out of the economy, allow people to move wherever they want to so they can get the right jobs. Changes like that seem to be too much for the Communist Party.
Let's talk about the Communist Party for a moment, Dr. Derek Scissors. The degree to which it's just facing stagnation has generally been regarded, as I understand it, as something that would basically doom the communists. And it certainly seems that between some of the considerations you've just talked about, notably the demographic situation, the environmental predations, and just a rising degree of political ferment internally, that the Chinese are facing possibly, you know, revolutionary conditions. And I just wonder, first of all, whether you agree that it could go there, and second of all, whether you would agree with me that that may well give rise to the kind of response that we've seen from totalitarians and authoritarians in the past, which is this so-called social engineering to find external threats to justify the internal repression.
Well, they certainly could do that. I think people have to be aware that the Communist Party has built up a lot of goodwill among ordinary people, which they've eroded. But China in 19... I mean, I'll give a little history here. I don't want to get carried away, but there are still people alive who remember this, and they matter. China in 1977 was unbelievably poor. It was as poor as India was in 1977. Not India now, but India in 1977. It was Bangladesh-level poor. And the party did deliver a lot of important gains in prosperity for ordinary people for a long time. And they survived the challenge after Tiananmen, where there was a lot of social unhappiness. It was a much poorer country back then as well. So, unfortunately, the Communist Party has a lot of staying power. And I think people have to be aware that it's going to take a long time and a number of failures for popular sentiment to really turn against the party. Obviously, there are tens of millions of people or more who are oppressed by the party on a daily basis, but there are hundreds of millions who think the party is the source of stability for China and so on. So I think this is going to have to be a gradual process as long as the party remains unified. I do think there is this threat, as you mentioned, of them looking increasingly outward for distractions. I think this trip is a distraction. Rather than talk about China's economic problems, it's going to be presented as Xi Jinping, one of the world's great leaders, meeting with the U.S., and they're going to try to distract people with that. But if that doesn't work, you know, you could get more aggressive sorts of distractions, and China has some very strange and worrisome territorial claims, and they're an obvious way to get people's minds off economic stagnation.
And potentially put a lot of our minds on the line in terms of the dangers that they represent to our vital interests and those of our allies. It's great to talk with you, Dr. Derek Scissors. I hope this will be the first of many conversations. We wanted to talk a little bit about India, another area of your expertise, and we'll do that on another occasion soon, I hope. In the meantime, keep up the good work at the American Enterprise Institute and also at George Washington University. Next up, we'll talk with another China hand, Dean Cheng of the Heritage Foundation, about cyber warfare and what might come of that in the conversations between our two presidents. More on that straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.